It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. My co-host Dan Berger is back with us, of course. And I'm going to let you introduce our guest from over the hill in Napa County. I've enjoyed some of their wines before. It's Pine Ridge Winery.
And Dan? Yeah, this is Michael Bolak. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Welcome, so, man.
Michael has been winemaker there for, what, 8 years, I think you said, right?
Yeah.
And so this is going to be a really interesting, fun tasting we're going to do today. We only have a couple of wines, but they're both fabulous. And what I really like about what Michael's style is, he's been in the Valley for many years. You were winemaker several years before that. And you've got a real interesting style to your wines. The acid is the structure, but also personality of the vintage and the varietal.
Thank you. Yeah, I really like having acid in wine. I think it's really key to pairing up with food. I tend to try to pick a little bit earlier so that, especially with the Chardonnay that we're going to be tasting here, that it keeps the acid. It does go through ML, but we still have some good crisp acid at the end.
I was big on acid in high school, but that's a different story.
I read a lot about it, but
yeah,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, you're a young man. I'm an old guy. But, yeah, and Dan, talk about the acidity in wine, which you mention all the time.
Yeah.
But explain.
Well, I think in this case, it's so well integrated. You don't actually taste it as acidic. What you do is you taste it as balance. And what it does is it helps to encourage salivation, which means that your food is going to taste better all by itself. Then, of course, then the wine brings more saliva to your tongue, and that gives you an opportunity to taste the food even more acutely. So this
it
is kind of perfect...
awakens your taste buds?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Absolutely is
you
what
know,
it does.
I use the term bright. It's a really bright wine. It kind of pops. There's certainly fruit here, but there's a density to the wine also. It goes through full malolactic. It's a native fermentation, native ML. It's a non-interventional winemaking.
Now, when you say native, what do you mean exactly?
Well, most wine produced in the United States, you bring it in, you have the juice, and you add yeast to it. So I don't add yeast because there's naturally occurring yeast on the outside of the grapes. Bring that in.
It's natively for Napa.
Right.
Yeah.
So it starts off a little bit slower in the beginning. This juice is very cool. It probably takes 7 to 10 days just for fermentation to start happening.
And then it takes a long time for it to finish because he's keeping the temperature of the fermentation down to some degree where he slows it down to allow for more flavors to develop on their own. This is not one of those things where they rush the fermentation in 3 or 4 days, 5 days, it's all over with. Now, this takes, what is it, a couple of weeks to do?
A few weeks, 2 to 3 weeks for primary fermentation to happen. And then we keep the room very cool also so that the secondary or malolactic fermentation is delayed. And what we're trying for is for the malo to be starting in the early spring. Right now, the 2016 vintage is about halfway through malolactic, and that keeps CO2 in the wine, keeps the wine fresh. We're not adding any SO2, and we're able to continue stirring the barrels or batonnage to add that mouthfeel to the wine.
It gives you a texture that helps to mask some of the acidity. So the acidity is still there, but you don't actually taste it as acid because the wine has this nice, beautiful texture that Michael builds into the wine by stirring and stirring the barrels. And it's time-consuming, and it forces the wine to stay in the winery for an extra 6 months or more. And what ends up happening is that we buy the wine a little bit later, but that gives us that, you know, that old story, Steve, you always say that I'm Dan, put it in the cellar burger.
Yeah.
Well, this is wine from the cellar that the winemaker is actually building in some time for the consumer.
So how long would you lay this down?
I think that this would benefit from 2 to 3 more years. But
wow.
But the nice thing is that with a wine the way it was made at the winery, it already has some time.
Oh, it's amazing right now. I mean, you know, as a Chardonnay guy, God. And we'll talk about it in just a moment. Michael, talk about Pine Ridge Vineyards. I'm looking at the website, And it says established in 1978.
Right.
What's the history?
So next year is our 40th anniversary.
Wow.
It was started by Gary and Nancy Andrus. And now, you know, I'm the GM and winemaker there. But we have a history of making Chardonnay as well as Cabernet. And then I also make a little wine called Chenin Blanc Viognier. That Dan's had a couple of times, and I think he kind of likes that wine too. But if I'm thinking about the winery, we're Cabernet. It's Napa Valley.
Yeah.
We really need to focus on that. The value of the land really. The value of the land really is only achieved by having Cabernet on it. And it's the best place in the world to grow Cabernet.
This is Stag's Leap, which gives you the opportunity to make the silkiest of all the Cabernets in the valley. That's really very special.
Yeah. We will taste.
Oh, yeah. We have a fabulous example of Cabernet here.
Let's talk about this Chard, though. This, as a Chard guy, what year is this?
2015.
Yeah, I definitely have not had this. This is amazing. Dan, why do I love this so much?
Well, first of all, I think that there's a combination of things here. First of all, you have this wonderful fruit, which is very, very faintly tropical. It doesn't have very much tropical, just a little trace of that. But there's also a citrus note, and that citrus note is coming from this cool region, Carneros.
Is that more on the finish? That's what I'm
thinking.
Yeah,
it's that lemon oil character in the finish like
lemon
that.
Lemon curd almost.
Yeah, yeah. Lemon curd.
Ooh,
but there's also integrated within that is this slight bit of oak that comes straight out of these French oak barrels. Now, you can't get this from American oak. This is tricky.
Right. This is all French oak, and it's about 50%, 55% new French oak. I want the oak to lift the wine, focus the wine, but I don't want to overwhelm the wine. And so for me, that 50% seems to work pretty well.
And the secret to this wine is the fact that really, in some ways, Chardonnay ought to be considered a red wine with no color. This is a pretty big and bold.
Really?
Well, think about it.
I love that.
It does have that weight.
Well, you
it?
Want the weight, exactly.
And it's got that. So if you were to have this wine with rare roast beef, the combination of the textures would be perfect. Now, the flavors might not be perfect, but let me tell you, rare roast beef and Chardonnay is quite a treat because you have the opportunity to make use of the acidity to cut through the very delicate layer of protein that's in that meat. A real rare piece of roast beef doesn't need a heavy wine. In fact, a heavy wine will blow it away. It will overpower the meat. So here you have the opportunity to have red wine with no color, and where Pinot Noir sometimes, and we'll try one of those a little later today, we're going to try a Pinot Noir, which is really white wine with loads of color.
Fascinating. No wonder you are who you are, the great Dan Berger. So when Pine Ridge started back in the late 70s, or what was the first vintage?
79 was the first vintage.
Wow. Okay. And I'm assuming it wasn't Chardonnay?
There was Chardonnay and there was Cabernet.
Okay.
But the focus, as I said earlier, has been on Cabernet. We have 160 acres. We grow grapes in five different AVAs. So we start up in Howell Mountain, Rutherford, Oakville, Canaros, and then, of course, down in Stag's Leap, where the winery is.
Right. And that's the tasting room?
Tasting room, production, everything's done right there.
Tell people how to get to your tasting room.
We're on Silverado.
County. And you live in Sonoma County.
I do live in Sonoma County.
But it's on Silverado Trail.
It's on Silverado Trail. Towards the southern end, Stag's Leap District. If you don't know where Stag's Leap District is, you should look it up.
It's just south of Yountville on the eastern side of the valley.
Right.
And there's a gorgeous little, I don't know whether you've got a name for that hill you're in. You're in the middle of a hillside.
Yeah, we're tucked into this little canyon. It's an interesting spot. We have this canyon that splits down towards the winery, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it'll be a hot day like today and the rest of the week will be. We'll get this breeze blowing down through that canyon starting about 3:30 in the afternoon. It's a pretty special spot.
So is it between Yountville and Rutherford? I've been so long since I've lived over there or been over there. It's before the city of Napa.
Yes, before the if you're heading south on
Rutherford is
north.
Yes, okay.
Okay,
never
so
mind.
Yountville's on Highway 29, right. And we're directly across from Yountville on the Silverado Trail.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I haven't been over there in a long time.
You need to visit.
That. Yeah, I do. I do.
That's a pretty nice region for growing red wine grapes because you don't typically get outrageous heat spikes. That cooling afternoon breeze helps a lot to keep the temperatures down just enough so that you don't get really overripe fruit typically. And so there you can make a real silky and textured red wine, and it's very nice for Cabernet Sauvignon. Also, Merlot grows pretty well down there,
right,
because you're cool
enough. And we've got some great Malbec, too. Just wonderful Malbec right in front of the winery there. But I left this afternoon, and it was 88 degrees at the winery, and in Santa Elena it was 93.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see the difference as you're driving up the valley.
And definitely. So besides Cab Sauvignon, you guys do Cabernet Franc,
mm-hmm.
Malbec, Petit Verdot.
Right, we don't make a Malbec. We grow it, but we don't make it as a standalone wine.
Yeah.
But Cab Franc, PV, Merlot, and Cabernet. I think I make, I should know this number, 16 different wines. So, you know, wine club's very important to us. We like making unique wines for our wine club to be able to just have it for them or just in the tasting room. So we have 4 wines that are sold nationally, and the rest of the wines are in the tasting room.
And how many whites?
Right now, we're making 3. We make the Chenin Blanc Viognier blend. Mm. We make a Dijon clone Chardonnay. We make a Le Petit Clos Chardonnay, which is the only Chardonnay from the Stag's Leap district. And then this new wine that we're having today, which is the Canaros Colleens, which is, you know, Southern Napa.
This thing is amazing.
Well, that lemon character really comes through very strongly,
yeah.
And what is really nice is that you can really pair it up with some interesting fish. It will go with salmon, it'll go with steelhead, or even tuna, but I would much prefer to see it with a piece of halibut with perhaps a little lemon butter on it, because the halibut is sort of like a steak almost, and then you've got the opportunity to pair up some of the textures of this wine with something that's a little richer with the butter on the fish. Most people will serve Chardonnay like, well, typically Chardonnay is used as an aperitif. It's just people just drink it.
Yeah.
This wine can be served that way, but it's so much better with food.
What about chicken? Yeah. Because I'm not a fish guy. I'm a shellfish guy, but chicken, I'm
well,
a
chicken,
big chicken,
chicken
guy.
Chicken, if you do, now I have a recipe that's real simple. It calls for grapefruit. You take a grapefruit and reduce the juice.
Really?
Just cook the grapefruit juice way down. Pound the chicken breast and put it in and just use a little bit of tarragon. So delicate flavors to go with this. So let this be the focal point on the plate. The main dish is just there, and this is your message for the dinner.
Would you pour any of this chard onto the chicken while it's cooking?
You could, but why waste great wine like this? use an inexpensive white wine with no oak in it. A real simple wine to deglaze the pan. But if you just reduce that grapefruit juice with a little bit of butter, you would be amazed at what it does for chicken breast.
No kidding. I got to try that because I'm a big chicken guy, and I cook chicken in different ways, but
with the grapefruit juice. Yeah. You actually don't taste the acidity as much as you think you would, because once it's cooked,
right,
and then it mixes with the little bit of olive oil you're using in the dish,
sure,
and then you drop in a couple of pats of butter just before you serve, it's killer.
I'm stopping at the store tonight. I'm getting me some chicken breasts grapefruit. How much grapefruit?
You could use a whole grapefruit. Just keep reducing it until it becomes a glaze.
Okay. Wow. I'm starving now.
I'm doing the halibut tonight.
Okay,
though.
The halibut
would
work for you.
Michael Bolak is here. He's not only the winemaker, but general manager at Pine Ridge Vineyards. They're on the Silverado Trail in Napa. How many years as winemaker?
I've been there 8 years. This will be my 29th harvest, though.
And give us your – we talked about the history of Pine Ridge. Talk about your history.
So I grew up in Vermont.
Wow.
And had a jazz dinner club in Portland, Maine. And perhaps you know the name Tim Murphy of Murphy Good Vineyards.
Of course.
Came in to thank me for pouring his wine and jokingly offered me a job. And I said, yeah, I'll take that.
Time to get out of Maine and go to California. Yeah.
So moved here in 1989. And, you know, Tim and his family and Dave Reddy and their family and Dale Good took care of me, nurtured me through the process. And after I'd been there for many years, I worked with Mary Edwards for a while.
Iconic.
Very much so. Wonderful woman. I moved over to Morecambe Vineyards in 1997. So I've been head winemaker since for 20 years now and was there for about 4 years. Then went to St. Supery. Again, over in Napa Valley in Rutherford for 8 years, and now at Pine Ridge again for 8 years.
And when he was at St. Supery, he was making arguably the best Sauvignon Blanc in the valley.
Thank you.
That's a great. That was a great wine for you for a long time.
That
was. Sauvignon Blanc. You should go try to do some more Sauvignon Blanc at Pine Ridge. You'd love to.
I am to meeting with a grower next Wednesday.
Let
to
me
see
know
if we can find a little bit.
Okay.
Very cool. All right, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. Dan Berger, of course, my co-host today, featuring Pine Ridge Winery in Napa. Michael Bolak is the GM and, more importantly, the winemaker there. This is good. I want to, before we get into your reds, Michael, Dan, talk about what you brought, because every week you bring this weird stuff or interesting stuff.
Well, interesting, I would hope.
Yes, thank you. I meant interesting, but sometimes it's, to me, weird. But what do I know? From your cellar, explain what this is.
Well, I was just walking through a shop and spotted this, and I thought, well, this would be perfect for the show. It's a Pinot Noir that comes from the Alsace in France. Made in a typical Alsace manner, low alcohol. It's about 12.25% alcohol.
That is low.
And it's got some no particular oak. It's been aged in some oak, but very, very neutral barrels. And the secret to the wine is just plain light, fruity red. Sells for around $20 a bottle. It's easy to drink. You could chill this. You would serve this with something like tuna. It's really flavorful, but in a European style rather than the California. So the California would be more fruity and would probably have a little bit more oak character. Here, the wine is just simply easy to drink, Alsace Pinot Noir, and a wine that typically you'll see in some fine wine shops, but most people will not buy it on their own because they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's just a light, flavorful, little, inexpensive red wine. For just over $20, and I think in California you can't really find very much Pinot Noir over $20, under $20. It's worth drinking.
No, and Michael, what do you think? This is a 2015 Pinot in France.
No, it's bright, it's clean. I think chilling it down, just have a little coolness to it, and sipping it outside would be great. Yeah,
and would you? Mr. Laydown, lay this down, and for how long?
Yeah, this was probably the one of the few wines that I brought in that I wouldn't put away for very long, if at all.
Okay.
Here's an example where the fruit is right up front. It's not going to get any better by sitting around, so just drink it. You know.
You think this is available at Bottle Barn?
You know, it might be.
I bet it is.
It could very well be. We know that this is nationally distributed. It comes in from a New York importer, and we got it here, so... It's got to be available.
I'm sure it's at Bottle Barn.
Yeah.
Barry's in Europe, right?
Yes, he is. He's actually is on a buying trip. I always like to think these guys have got the greatest scam going in the world. They go to Europe and they call it a buying trip. Come on, give me a break.
Exactly.
He's out there drinking wine. Come on, let's be real.
Exactly. Michael Bolak, winemaker and GM at Pine Ridge in Napa. All right, so... Your Chardonnay, the one we tasted, is just unbelievable. Now, what are we looking at here?
Now we've got the 2014 Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon.
So, and just a point of reference, Michael wouldn't tell you on his own, but I'll tell you, 14 was a great vintage.
It was a great vintage.
Talk about greatness here.
Well, we've had a string of great vintages.
Yeah, we have.
You know?
Yeah, it's been pretty good, huh, for the last number of years?
We tasted 16s today at the winery and just blown away by the quality and what those wines taste like right now. You know, we're, 8 months into the aging process, and the wines are just beautiful. Elegant, round, good fruit. I mean... and inky black, too.
And what about, we always talk about quantity versus quality. The last few years have been kind of both, right?
Yeah, 16 was right on estimates. I don't think anyone really was hit over or under. I've had a few down years.
Right.
15 was a tough vintage, definitely.
In terms of volume, for sure.
Yes.
Right, but quantity.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry.
Quantity.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Quality 15, was still there.
The quality was amazing. Yeah. It was just quantity. Yeah.
I mean, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 are all great vintages. Everyone has their favorites that they like.
Yeah, really, and my favorite is 11, so go figure that one out.
Well, why am I not surprised? What a shock.
Well, it's Dan Berger.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to lay them all down.
That's right.
What are you talking about here?
Well, this is the 14 Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon.
Just hold a strobe light to the back of this glass and see if you can see it.
Yeah, this is pretty dark.
Wow. That's a beautiful color.
This is a sledgehammer.
And what's the alcohol on this?
I can't read it, but I'm guessing it's about 14.5, 14.6.
Which is pretty low, right?
Yeah, it's moderate. I think the most important thing about this wine is the future of this wine. Now, admittedly, you know, you chide me all the time for putting wine away, but this one is going to really reward anybody putting it in the cellar. This is a fabulous wine. If nothing else, you can drink it now. But, boy, I'll tell you, what it gives you in 2 years, or a year and a half to 2 years, this is just sensational winemaking.
Yeah, this is, again, very bright acid, very clean, crisp. It has great fruit. It's aged in American oak for about 16 months.
Now, I got to do this again, but what's the difference between American oak and French oak?
Well, the next guy you have in here is going to tell you something completely different. What I think is that American oak gives a little structure to the wine. It's a little more in your face, whereas French oak is more about subtleties and being a little nuanced. So each of the Cabernets that I make, I select one cooper, one barrel manufacturer who builds the barrels, and I choose that one barrel for that wine. So this is all one barrel, American oak, as I said.
Wow.
But I think it focuses the wine. It gives it that structure. You taste the oak. It's only 35% new oak. And I think that, there's a creaminess, there's a very supple mouthfeel to this wine. And I agree with you, Dan. I think this is going to age out beautifully.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the secret to this wine, to me, is how the oak was not heavily toasted. You're using a moderate toast on this barrel, so it's not smoky. It's not chocolate and mocha and all that other stuff. It's basically red fruit and dark berry fruit. It's got blackberries and black cherries. It's got loads of mid-palate substance and weight without the oak showing through as oak. In the aftertaste, it's a little, if you want to be technical about it, it's slightly disjointed. But this just needs about 3 to 6 more months. Or if you buy it and drink it now, just decant it. Put it in a decanter and let it sit for a couple of hours.
That's always a great idea.
Because then it opens up and it gives the wine a little bit more richness.
And if you don't have time to decant it, pour out a glass, put the cork back in, and shake the bottle.
That's it. Shake the bottle.
Really?
Get a lot of air in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've never talked about that, I don't think.
Well, what's the deal artificial there? Well, because the more air that a young red wine gets, the more likely some of those tannins are to start to come together and to coalesce. And what you want to do is soften the wine a little bit. And when the wine's young like this, it's really not made for drinking right now. So what we have to do is to help it along. So give it lots of air. Either you shake it up or you put it in a decanter and then shake the decanter.
Right.
So if you put the cork in after you've opened it.
Yeah, you take a glass out so there's plenty of headspace now.
Yeah, okay.
And then just shake the bottle until it's still stuff.
No kidding.
It's foaming and getting bubbles.
I have not ever heard that.
Well,
but please, people, make sure you put the cork back in before you shake it.
Or at least your finger.
Let's not get it on the curtains.
This is Pine Ridge Vineyards, which is, by the way, pineridgevineyards.com. Napa Valley Cab Sauvignon 2014. This seems to have so much going for it, and as you said, it's young, but And a pretty low for a cab from Napa, a pretty low alcohol
content. And the best opportunity with this wine really is if you buy it now and want to drink it now, just put it in a decanter because really it shows so much better.
Or if you are going to shake it up, put the cork back in.
And Bottle Barn usually has all our wines there too.
Good. So. All right. That is very special. What else? Is that it?
That's it for the moment.
Yeah, that's all we need.
Yeah. But there is one other wine that you want to talk about. It's called, you call it Fortis?
Fortis.
Talk about Fortis. So Fortis, he didn't bring it. But.
Right, is our top blend. So starting in, started this wine in 2003 was the first vintage, and it's morphed a little bit, but right now it's a Stag's Leap AVA wine. And I'm looking for, you know, showing everything that Stag's Leap's about. You said that texture, that velvetiness that Stag's Leap has, but concentration. It's a big wine. I'm pretty proud of the way those wines are tasting right now. We had them last week and thoroughly like having that out, having people taste the wine, having the opportunity to taste, you know, a world-class Cabernet Sauvignon.
And when you visit the tasting room, I assume you'll have a couple of older vintages so people can opportunistically try some of those.
A couple of them, yes.
Yeah, and these wines are really very special. Stag's Leap is not a district that you go into lightly. It's one of the most iconic districts in the entire valley. But with the style of wines that we're starting to see from Stag's Leap, and a lot of winemakers are, you've got a lot of compatriots down there with you.
We do.
I got a few handful of wineries down there, and this is a fabulous district to visit. In fact, I always suggest when people visit the Napa Valley, pick a local district and stay there. Don't try to drive all over Helangan and try to visit 15 wineries in a day. That's just a waste of your time and your palate.
Right.
Stick to one region.
And Stag's Leap is the smallest AVA in Napa Valley. It's 3 miles.
It is, though, an AVA.
Yes.
I did not know that. I know Stag Leap's winery.
Oh, yeah. No, we're definitely an AVA. Wow. We're one of the first in Napa Valley. I forget what year it was.
What's it going to take to get this studio as an AVA?
You have to grade.
Nobody does more wine stuff than the drive
but
on
KSRO.
But
it's multiple, so it's hard to get it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, but it could be the drive AVA. I don't know. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, so just to go back to that district thing, Stag's Leap's not very big. It starts at the edge of the city of Napa.
And north of that, actually.
Just north of there.
Yep. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, and then it goes, what, about 12 miles or thereabouts?
No, it's 3 miles long.
Is that all it is?
And 1 mile wide.
Oh, wow.
I may have this wrong. I think we have 4,700 acres planted there.
That's impressive.
But I may be wrong on that number. 20 wineries are located.
That's a lot of acres and wineries for such a small.
Yeah, but you think about all of Napa Valley and how many acres are planted there. It really isn't that much.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
And so most of the AVAs, like, let's say, Rutherford goes from east all the way across to the west.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And Stag's Leap goes, you know, from the east only to the Napa River. And at that point, the Napa River's way to the east.
Well, I'm really a big fan of Stag's Leap. It was back in 1993, I did a blind tasting of various sub-regions, and Stag's Leap came out to be the only district in the entire valley that showed identifiability, which is an interesting analysis, I guess you could call it that. Nobody's ever done that before or since. It's very difficult to do a regional tasting because everybody's blending from one region to another.
Right.
But you're not, and most of your neighbors are not. When it says Stag's Leap on the label, it really is a district phenomenon and really makes for iconic wine.
And one of the other things that we're doing is we do have Cabernets from Rutherford, Oakville, and Howell Mountain. So, you know, we're showing the vineyards that we own across the Napa Valley and the differences. Because you think about Napa is fairly small, and
yeah.
The wines, the way they taste in Stag's Leap versus the way they taste just up in Oakville are dramatically different.
Yeah, Pine Ridge also owns a very small property in Rutherford up against the hillside. You want to talk a little bit about that? It's called John Daniels Airfield, I guess.
Really?
We prefer to call it Rutherford Ridge.
Okay. Right, right.
Who's John Daniels?
John Daniel was the...
Is he the brother of Jack Daniels?
No.
I seem to know well.
John Daniel was the great nephew of Gustav Neubaum, who founded Inglenook.
Right.
And
wow.
So, and then he took over Inglenook in, what was it, 1949 or whatever it was, or 40s, whatever.
Wow.
And then he chose not to plant that parcel because it was an airfield. It was his air. He had a plane, and he flew, and then he landed it there. So it was hard as a rock. And Gary Andrus, the late Gary Andrus, had decided in his all-consuming passion, decided that he was going to plant this damn thing.
But what was great about that is that he planted a hillside.
Right.
So up on top of this knoll, we've got older Cabernet. We have a clone. One of the clones is, we refer to it as the MR clone. So there's a winery called Mouton Rothschild. Maybe you've heard of it.
Sure.
that he went over and he took suitcase clones, where you go over and take budwood and sneak them back into the country.
Right.
And so we've propagated that throughout many of our vineyards. But that Rutherford one is pretty special up on top of that.
Yeah. And that's a fabulous vineyard. It was a vineyard that viticultural experts had told him, do not try to do this. It'll fail. And it didn't fail.
Wow. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn in Santa Rosa. Dan Berger, my co-host. And today we're featuring Pine Ridge Winery in Napa. Michael Bolak, the GM and the winemaker. Great stuff, dude. It's PineRidgeVineyards.com. You folks need to do this. Check them out. Join the wine club. And
please,
we will have you back. And I'm amazed you haven't been in before, but... Pleasure to meet you, and your wines are great. Quickly, Dan.
Well, I was really pleased that I had the opportunity to go over and meet with Michael the other day, and we tasted through a bunch of the wines. And the next time Michael's in, he'll bring the wonderful Viognier Chenin Blanc and maybe two other, something like that. This is a great property and a great contributor to Napa Valley's heritage. This is great.
And again, the tasting room is in Oakville?
No. Yountville.
Yountville, that's what I meant.
The mailing address is Napa.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you should... It's 129 in Napa County.
No, we're on Silverado Trail.
That's right. I said that earlier. See, these guys have got me all blown up.
Okay.
I'm sorry I was yelling, but anyway, great to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you. Thank
great
you
wines. Dan, we'll see you next week.
Excellent.
Tom Simino will be in doing something.
Yeah, we have Bob Cabral is in next week, and he's bringing some new wines.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Bob does a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, folks.